Well, here we are again. Tomorrow is January. Another year has cycled through. And, you know, we find this a time for reflection. The name for the month, January, was actually taken from, it's believed from a Roman god, Janus, who was the god of beginnings and endings in the Roman pantheon. And it was usually the case that when figures or drawings were made of Janus, that he had two heads, or at least two faces, one looking back and one looking forward. And that's sort of the spirit in which our culture treats this New Year's time. A time when we look back and a time when we look ahead. And, you know, you read in your newspaper or you see on television items about the year past, the events, the things that have unfolded. And all sorts of encouragement for you to do better next year. Well, let's reflect on that for a few moments. It's not a bad thing, you know, for us to stop and consider the year past. How was your year? I mean, not just materially. When somebody says, you know, how was the year for you? We usually think about material things. And of course, it's appropriate that we give God thanks and praise for the blessings that he has provided, because certainly those material blessings have been a part of our experience and a part of our blessing. But I encourage you to also think more in terms of spiritual things. How has this past year been for you? Were there some moments in it when you felt especially close to God? Were there some moments, whether they were when you were out for a walk, or when you were gathered here in worship, or when you were just sitting quietly reflecting about life, when you had a real sense of the presence of God with you, and it was warm and good and gracious? Maybe there were times in the past year when you were feeling uncertain about what might be on the immediate horizon. And maybe in such a time, God met you and reassured you. Or his word came back to your memory, and you found strength in that. Because you see, our blessings of the year past have not been all material ones. In fact, many of the most precious moments in our lives are ones that are essentially spiritual times, when we are conscious of the Lord's presence and power, when some portion of Scripture comes to us with power and strength and encouragement, or some friend, brother, or sister in Christ speaks to us and encourages us, and we feel richly blessed. And perhaps by the grace of God, we have been enabled to be a source of encouragement to others around us. You know, when I think back over the year past for myself, and I'm not going to burden you with all the things that came to mind, But when I did it, I had some responses. The first one was, thank you, Lord, because I was so conscious of his graciousness. The second one, closely on the heels of thank you, Lord, were forgive me, Lord. Because as I reflected on the year, there were all kinds of times when I ought to have trusted and I didn't. Or I ought to have been content in the Lord's provision and I wasn't. Then I ought to have been reassured and comforted and immediately pacified to know that the Lord was there. And yet I continued struggling with something or worrying about something that I knew really that the Lord would see me through. And so there was the thank you moment, the forgive me moment, and as a follow-up to that, a little thought, Lord, teach me more about trusting you. So looking backward is useful because it helps us sometimes to appreciate things we may have missed and just taken for granted. It also gives us encouragement as we, like, you know, the Old Testament often takes the people of Israel back through a recitation of things that God has done to provide blessing for them through the generations. And when we look at a year past and reflect on the Lord's presence and power in our lives, it serves that similar purpose of reminding us that the Lord has been there more often than we even assume. And then, of course, puts us in a frame of mind to say, well, if that's the looking back, what's the looking ahead? What do we look forward to in another year? Now, I realize that you know, New Year's is just another day on the calendar. It's not something magical or mystical. We could, and perhaps should, engage in this sort of exercise of reflection, not just on one day in the year, but on many days. But there is a sense in which when the world around us is looking at the future and contemplating it, that it's not bad for us to go along with that and say, all right, as God's people, what do we look forward to? And here too, we have to acknowledge our frailty, our uncertainties. You know, as we age, sometimes we, at such a time of reflection, are so very conscious that most of life is behind us. And sometimes we struggle when we age with issues of what's ahead, because age can bring to us many beautiful experiences, but age does not protect us from challenges either. And sometimes we look ahead with some degree of apprehension or uncertainty. And may it be, as we look ahead, that God would bless us with a spirit of hopefulness and trust, that we might have a sense of anticipation. You know, that God might help us with that old question, is the glass half full or half empty? You know, where we sometimes get into pessimistic frames of mind when we see only the dark side, the problem side of the future and its potential. And by the grace of God, may we be able to be balanced, to be realistic about the circumstances of our lives, but yet at the same time, to approach them with a sense of eager anticipation and expectation and confidence that the Lord will be there with his people as he has promised. And it's a good time, you know, for us just to ask ourselves, well, people around us are making resolutions about this, that, and the other thing. It's a good time for us as God's people to consider what we hope for spiritually in our lives. In what areas of our spiritual lives would we like to grow, and what things would we like to have deepened in our faith experience? And present that to the Lord and ask for his leading in seeing what we desire to become a reality. Because, you know, in living, not many things happen, or at least the best of things happen only when we take steps toward helping them to happen with God's strength and with his power. Sometimes we journey along in life sort of just waiting for good things to fall on us. And yet other times we recognize that if that's going to happen, there will need to be some intentional activity on our part, with God's help, to contribute to it. So let it be your commitment as you approach this unknown, clouded, mysterious, perhaps somewhat ominous 2018. May it be your resolution to make a commitment to go forward into the new year with God. That we will have that sense of community with him, of closeness. That we will rejoice in his grace in Jesus Christ. And that our experience of God will be even deeper, more personal, more satisfying, more fulfilling, more captivating of our lives than it had been before. Now, I'm going to end this morning by reading some passages from the Psalms, a few selections. Well, what can I say? Just listen to the word. This from Psalm 145. The psalmist says, I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works. And I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. Another few verses from Psalm 28. Praise be to the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song I praise him. The Lord is the strength of his people, a fortress of salvation for his anointed one. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Be their shepherd and carry them forward. Some verses from Psalm 9. I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. And I will tell of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. And finally, these most familiar words from a more contemporary translation than probably comes to your mind if you learned these in your childhood. But you will recognize this testimony. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. People of God say,